There was a man at my former parish, his name was Bob, and I knew him just a bit and kind of the details of his life. He's a farmer, and he runs his family farm. We'd bring our school kids out there every year, and they'd get to go out and see the cows and the animals and all the machinery and those sorts of things. And I knew Bob would bring his mother in her wheelchair to Mass every Sunday, but that's about all I knew of him, really. And then I got more of his story even just this past weekend. I was with a priest friend who preceded me in my last assignment, and so he knew Bob and more of his family's story, and we were talking about him. And more of Bob's story came to light that Bob was a young man, maybe his late teens. His dad was probably around my age, where I am right now. And they were out working the field one day, and his dad just stopped and turned to Bob and said, "Call 911. And so Bob runs to the farmhouse, picks up the phone, calls 911. The ambulance arrives, and they're able to get Bob's dad into the ambulance and then dart him off to the hospital. Bob jumps in his farm truck and follows the ambulance to the hospital. And he's waiting there in the lobby by himself. He was with his dad by himself, too. And they say, "Hey, you can come back now, and we have your dad in a room." And so he goes into that room, just the two of them, and they have this special moment together. And his dad tells Bob, "Take care of your mother and divide everything equally between your siblings." That was what he was able to communicate to him, and they spent some of his dad's last moments together, and then he left the room, and then his dad died really shortly after. And I can imagine that Bob, in that moment, in his dad's room, exchanging some things, shocked about what was happening. It all transpired really quickly that day. His dad was still pretty young. I mean, he was, what, my age right now. So his dad was really, really young. And now Bob is here in these last moments with his dad, probably trying to soak in everything that he could. Those two lines, "Take care of your mother, divide everything equally between your siblings." And I'm sure he wished that moment could probably last a lot longer. He could spend those times with his dad and soak it all in. But he took his dad's message, and he's lived the rest of his life doing that. Like I said, I knew him, wheeling his mom into Mass every Sunday in her wheelchair, now a widow some 40 years later. Bob never married. He took care of the family farm. He took care of his mother, both of those a full-time job. So he didn't have a family of his own. And his mom died just a few years ago. And now he's in that process of heeding his dad's final request of dividing things up equally between all of his other siblings. But like I said, in those last moments he had with his dad, he probably wished he could just stretch those, that he could receive more, that he could enjoy that relationship just a little bit longer. And I see in our theme for this second Sunday of Lent something very similar. Jesus, before he dies, before he goes and suffers on the cross and says farewell to his companions, he takes three of them up this mountain, and they have a special moment, a special encounter. And this was purposeful. It happened, they tell us, about 40 days before the crucifixion. So about 5 weeks, and that's why we read it at this Sunday of Lent. We're about 5 weeks from Easter. And so we read this story of Jesus' transfiguration and this moment of glory that he shares with three of his closest companions. We read it now for a similar reason. We read it and reflect on this mystery So that what Jesus did with those three disciples, he might do with us too. That today would be like a little oasis, a little moment of to stop and reflect like Bob did with his dad before the end came, to soak in that relationship and that mystery as much as we can. This is what Peter was trying to do at the top of that mountain. When Jesus, exposing himself in his glory, Jesus had that moment with them, and Peter wanted to stop. He says, let's build some tents. Let's let this last as long as we can. But ultimately, it had to end. They had to come down the mountain so that Jesus could then go and fulfill his mission. But for that stretch of time, for that moment that they were able to be on that mountaintop, it changed their lives, and it was able to give them a direction forward when the darkness of Good Friday would come. It gave them hope. It gave them a glimpse of what was to come after the passion, after the suffering, after the death, that there was glory to come. And there was these moments in that encounter where I'm sure Peter, James, and John were just soaking it in. They heard that voice from heaven, that same voice that came and spoke a similar message at Jesus's baptism. This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. They heard the Father's voice. They see Moses and Elijah, these Old Testament figures, the law and the prophets. They see Jesus's glory. It's blinding. He shines dazzling white. And then Jesus himself speaks to them like Bob's dad spoke to him. Rise, don't be afraid. And don't tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Jesus had this message for them, and he manifested all of this, his glory, how good he was, how life always conquers death. He gave them this share, this little glimpse, so that they would store it in their hearts. It's like a little vial of hope, or like a little light that they could hide in their hearts, so that when we went through in the coming weeks the darkness and the gloom and the despair and the rejection, that they'd have that little hope. They'd have that little light hidden in their hearts that Jesus gave to them some 40 days earlier. And then when they went through that moment of pain and suffering, they'd come on the other side of it, able to relish and enjoy and receive the beauty and glory of Jesus' resurrection. He began it 40 days earlier to get them through the dark times. And like I said, I think Jesus has a similar thing for each of us. He has a similar purpose and a message for us that he had for Peter, James, and John, that he wants us to store up in these days a hope, a light that would get us through dark times, that would make us remember I'm not alone. When I go through pain and suffering, that there's resurrection on the other side of the grave, that there's goodness and light and hope, even when I can't see it. And with that theme, I want to invite each of us to something very specific today. I have a message and an invitation for everybody in our parish that in these next 40 days, these next 5 weeks leading up to Easter and Holy Week and all of those mysteries, I invite each family, each man, each woman, each child in our parish to have a moment of encounter with Jesus, similar to what Peter, James, and John had on the top of that mountain. That we have some kind of retreat or some kind of pausing between now and Holy Week, that we're able to store up in our hearts exactly the hope and the light that Jesus has ready for us, that will carry us through the darkness. Each one of us, I want each one of us to have this retreat experience, to have a moment of pause. Now, I know you might think that's a pretty steep request. Every man, woman, and child, really? Can we all pull this off? Do you realize how much that might cost? The planning that would be involved? Where am I going to go on a retreat? All of the details that would be involved, and who would speak, and what would we eat, and all of those different plannings. I know, I get it. It's a big ask. So we've cut out all those details, and we've done it for you. We have a retreat that's going to happen right here on our campus. We have this parish mission, and I've been announcing it now for some weeks. Hopefully you've saved it on your calendars, that we're going to have that moment as a parish, as a family, where we can go up the mountain together, that we can have this moment of pause and reflection, this moment of hope and glory that can take us through the darkness and remind us of the resurrection. So you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to plan the meals. You don't have to plan the childcare and all those sorts of things. We've done it for you. We even navigated around two spring breaks, and we planned it after hockey season. We were very thoughtful of this. We want to make this as easy as possible, that every family can come as a family on a Friday evening and a Saturday morning and afternoon, a week before Easter. It's the Friday and Saturday of Palm Sunday weekend, 1 week before Easter, so that we could each come and enjoy what God has in store for us. March 31st and April 1st. And in that specific ask, this weekend in the bulletin, so we have a QR code here that you can follow and that you can register your own families. If you do us a solid favor, register soon. We need to plan food. We need to plan volunteers and childcare and all these sorts of things. So do us a solid. Please register soon. And then one other specific ask that I have for everybody. After you've registered your family, there's this flyer in the bulletin today that you take this home. And it's two-sided. It's the same on each side. A little dotted line there in the middle. That you'd cut this in half. And that you'd invite two other people to this parish mission. One says for your family, one says for your friends. I think it's very instructive of how Jesus goes up that mountain and who he picks. He picks John, his beloved disciple, the one that was closest to him. So you can see in St. John, each of you. And then with John, we have his brother James and his fishing buddy Peter. So it's the three of them, a little small group, a family member and a friend, and the three of them go up that mountain together with Jesus, and all three of them are changed. All three of them store up that hope in their hearts that then carries them through the darkness of Good Friday. So I want you to think, who's my James and who's my Peter that I want to invite on this mission with me? Now, if you think that's a steep request, really we have to invite two people. I've done a little bit more. I invited 50 families on Friday. So if you think it's hard to ask two, I invited 50. And if anybody wants to challenge me and invite more than 50, I'll have a prize for you. So you can invite as many as you want, but you have to invite at least two. That we would come into this place of communion with one another and with Jesus. That's what happens on that mountain. The three of them grow closer together, and they grow closer around that glory that Jesus shares. So I invite you with me here now. We're about 4 weeks out. We're 1 month out from this day, that you'd start planning and preparing for what Jesus wants to do in your heart, what he wants to give you in that moment, that it would be exactly what you need to go through the darkness, to come through the grave, and to enjoy the resurrection on the other side.